Well, good morning and welcome to everyone. This chilly March morning, March the 2nd. It's a little cold outside, and I know for some, it's not the most comfortable of temperatures. I know that my good friend Alan Lindsay would prefer that this was July the 2nd instead of March the 2nd, because cold weather is not his favorite friend. And I do want to remind everyone that a week from today is my wife's favorite day of the year, the day that daylight savings time ends. She hates that day. So you've got a week's advance notice that next Saturday night, yes, you lose that hour of sleep. So be sure to be prepared for that as we move forward towards spring and some warmer weather. So at least there's that to be excited about. So we can certainly take heart in the fact that we are moving in that direction. And of course, good to see everyone out this morning. And of course, if you're visiting with us, we're so grateful that you're here. We seek to do exactly what the Bible teaches and exactly what the Bible says so that when we leave this life, we will be judged by the Word and we have followed it exactly as God has laid it out. And this morning, I wanted to just draw our attention to some scriptures. So hopefully, back in the day, it would have been, I'd love to hear those Bible pages turning. I know that now, when people turn their Bible pages, they pull this out so you can't hear them turning their Bible pages. But hopefully, many of us still have their Bibles with us because we're going to be looking at several scriptures today, focusing on a topic that the whole world is very aware of. At least, I hope that they're aware of it because it affects every single human being that's on this planet. And obviously, as we live in this life, we have choices, we have options, but there is one thing, and one thing for sure, that every human on this planet must face. No exceptions, no options. And that is their death. If they are born into this world, even if they only live for a few minutes, or a few years, at some point, they must face death. In the United States of America, for example, every day, approximately 10,000 people are born every day here in the United States. Also, however, every day here in the United States, approximately 9,000 people die every day. So right now, we're about plus 1,000 per day. However, if you go online and look at any number of charts or data streams, you will see that the number of births is going this way, and the number of deaths is going that way. Now, the number of deaths is going to be fairly consistent, but what's happening is that fewer children are being born, people are waiting longer to get married, some people are choosing not to have children. I know when I was going to graduate school, studying community planning, they had a term that they taught about because they were talking about communities and how they were or were not growing. If their communities were trending up, if they were flat, or if they were trending down. And so we had a term for communities that would either be flat or more likely trending down in terms of growth. And that term was DINK. D-I-N-K. Like DINK. What does that stand for? Double income, no kids. Okay? People didn't want to have children. They preferred focusing on themselves and living their life. And of course, that is their option. They certainly do not have the mandate to have children, especially sometimes people cannot have children, and there's reasons for that. But anyone who's ever had a baby knows how joyous that is. Anyone who's ever had to climb the mountain of raising children with all the challenges and difficulties that are there, along with the rewards and the accomplishments, knows that it's a great feeling to see your children come into this world, to see them grow, to see them live their lives. And of course, that's a blessing from God. God has given us the ability, when we draw breath, to live in this life. Now, according to the charts that I was looking at, those two points are going to intersect in terms of the number of people who are living and the number of people who are dying around 2084 or so. So that's 59 years from now. 59 years from now, at least in this country, the same number of people will be being born every day as are dying. And so as we think about our lives in this world, where is our focus? Are we focused on living this tangible life on this planet Earth and this solar system and this Milky Way galaxy and this universe that God has created? Is that our primary mindset? Is that where we're devoting our energies and all of our effort and all of our concentration and all of our purpose? Or are we understanding the fact that this life will end at some point? Now, what's really fascinating is that if you look in the Bible in the Old Testament, in terms of how long people used to live, you can go into the Bible and you can see some things, and sometimes people will look at this and say, well, that just can't be possible. There's no way that that could have happened. For example, if you look just in following Adam, okay, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. 900, not 90, 930 years is how long Adam lived. His son Seth in verse 8, Genesis 5 and verse 8, so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Seth had a son, Enosh. Verse 11 in Genesis chapter 5. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. That's three people living over 27, because 9 times 3 is 27. 2700 years. Three people. That's what it used to be like. But over time, God has allowed things to change. God has modified what we do. Now, we do know, of course, that Methuselah, in verse 25, verse 27, Methuselah lived 969 years. So that's the longest time that anybody lived. And even Noah lived 950 years. But after the flood, there was a big drop off. Instead of people living 800 and 900 years, they started to live 500, 400, 3, 2. And now we see lifespans. There are occasionally, you will see a person live to be close to 100 years old. The actor, famous actor Gene Hackman, was just found dead. He was 95 years old. 95 years. By any standard in today's world, that's certainly considered a long amount of time. But this world is obsessed with dying. This world is obsessed with trying to find a way around dying. And that's just not going to happen. Why? The Bible speaks about that. The Bible is the one that, where we first see the concept of death. In Genesis 2 and verse 17. Genesis 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. There, right there, we see it established that death is a reality. That death is something that's real. Now, the challenge for the faithful Christian is, do you respect death or do you fear it? I would encourage the faithful Christian to respect death. But I would also encourage the faithful Christian not to fear it. The Bible says a lot, and there's no way that I'm going to talk about all of it this morning, but the Bible has a lot to say about death. And the Bible has a lot to say about life. And of course, as the Christian, we should know that there are two deaths. There is physical death for this terrestrial body. Whether it's a year, 50, 100 years, it will die. It is alive until it is not. But the spiritual life that follows this life will be spent in eternity. It will be spent in one of two realms. Either the realm of heaven with God or the realm of hell without. Where a person spends eternity is up to them based on the choices and decisions that they make while they're in this life. Now, God has power over death. If you turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah 25, verse 8 reads as follows. He, referring to God, will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Only God has power over death. Now I know that man has tried forever to beat and cheat death. He just can't do it. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I'm an older person, so when I grew up, monsters were different. And there was like the big four monsters. So the big four, Wolfman, Frankenstein, the Mummy, and Dracula. Those were the big four. And isn't it interesting that three of those four are basically death beaters, Frankenstein. They put together a corpse and bring him back to life. The vampire, the undying one, the mummy. They don't even do the mummy anymore. Now they've just jumped right to zombies, you know. It's like, okay, I'm out. I'm not into that, okay? None of that stuff. But isn't that interesting that man's saying, oh no, you don't really have to die. We can beat that. No, you can't. Okay? But you're going to keep trying. You're going to keep trying to say that you understand what death is. Well, there's two types of death, and the Bible refers to them. If you stay in the book of Isaiah, and just turn over to chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 13 and 14, listen to what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 26, 13 and 14. O Lord our God, other masters beside you have had dominion over us. But by you only we make mention of your name. They are dead. They will not live. They are deceased. They will not rise. Therefore you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Pretty clear. But if you move ahead to verse 19 in Isaiah, Isaiah 26 and verse 19, the Bible says, your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So the Bible understands exactly which of the two we need to be focused on. Which of the two will save us or destroy us. And if you're really focused in on God, you understand that. You're not looking to die. You're not looking to go jump off of a cliff or anything. But by the same token, if your focus is where it needs to be, if you understand that eternity awaits for faithful followers of God, you're not afraid to die. And it wouldn't matter if you were, because there's nothing you can do about dying. You're going to die. Physically. But are you going to die spiritually? That is your choice. You don't have a choice about the physical death, but you do have a choice about the spiritual death. You can avoid it or you can embrace it. Which one are we going to do? It's up to us. You can see biblical examples of individuals who understood the power of God and their mindset toward physical death. Really? Yes, you can. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3 verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But then verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They knew exactly what they were saying. And they got it. You know what? Go ahead. Do your worst. You gonna kill me? Take your best shot. God can save me. But if he doesn't, I'm still not going to submit to you. I'm still not going to focus on what you're telling me to do. That is the right attitude to have. That example is there for us today. The world wants to shut the Christian up. They can't stand the fact that we understand what truth is. And so many of the things that you see today in this world, the belief systems and the practices that people are not just embracing, but championing, saying this is the right side of history. This is what you should do. This is the values that you should believe. Really? Does that align with biblical teaching? Well, you know, the Bible is this. Okay. You go right ahead. You are certainly free to not embrace exactly, and I mean exactly what the Bible says. And you will suffer the consequences. You may not believe that. You may not want to hear that. But the Bible is really clear about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live our lives and who controls the power of life and who controls the power of death. And there are so many scriptures that talk about how God controls life. Let's turn over to the book of John. There's going to be several scriptures that we're going to be looking at here in the Gospel of John. Starting off in chapter 5. Starting off in John, Gospel of John, chapter 5. And there's several scriptures that I want to point out here that we can share with individuals to help them understand who has the power of life really. John chapter 5, starting in verse 21, where the Bible says, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will." Well, how do we get life from Jesus? By obeying Him. The entire Bible tells us that. And right here we see in verse 21 that the Son will give life to whom He will. We can, through controlling our own lives and submitting our lives and our will to God and to Jesus, reap that very benefit, or turn our back on it. It's up to us. Continuing in verse 24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." It's as straightforward as it could possibly be. The only way you wouldn't know this is if you didn't read it. Staying in chapter 5 and moving to verses 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Just try and process that for a second. All who have died, all who have died will come forth again. The physical death is now over. Now it's time for the spiritual decision. Do you now have spiritual life forever, or do you have spiritual death forever? The only time that you have to make that decision is now, while you live a physical life, while you're able to think and understand and process and choose and act in a way that is aligned with what the Bible says we're supposed to do if we want eternal life. Because Jesus rules over that. Not sure about that? Oh, well, let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 50. And this is Jesus speaking. John chapter 6 and verse 50. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Now, I know that some of these Jewish individuals back then were sitting there listening to that and trying to comprehend it, although he was making it as plain as he could. But we're here now in 2025. We have the benefit of hindsight. We know exactly what he was referring to. And therefore, we know exactly what we must do if we truly want eternal life. Now, people say, oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. It reminds me of that childhood story that many of us know about the little hen who said, okay, who's going to help me go out and plant the seeds? Not I, said the grasshopper. Not I, said the ant. Not I, said the cow. Who's going to help me, you know, water the seeds? Who's going to help me reap the... All of that, all the way to the end. Nobody wanted to help her do anything. But then, when it was time to eat the bread from all of that work, they all wanted to show up. Nope. You weren't there because you didn't do what you were supposed to do when you needed to do it, and now it's too late. Don't let that happen. Do what Jesus tells us to do. Verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. How can you miss this? You can't, unless you don't read it, unless you don't study it, unless you don't accept it, unless you don't internalize it. Then you'll have a problem. Staying in the book of John, turn over to verse 51. John 8, verse 51. John 8, verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. But you must keep his word. What is his word? His word is the Bible. Well, how much of it? All of it. You don't get to choose what God said you can or cannot do. You just have to submit. That is man's biggest problem. It always has been and always will be. Why do you think two-year-olds are so hard-headed? Where do you think they learn that? That practice of no, 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 I don't want to do it. To some extent, it never really goes away, and it's a tremendous tragedy. We must overcome that. We must recognize that we have to submit our will to God. Why? Because he has the power of eternity. Chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That is the power of Jesus. That is the power to protect those who are his. Are you his or not? Are you obedient or not? Are you faithful or not? Are you consistent or not? All of those are up to you. Salvation, heaven, that's in God's hands. Our behavior, our actions, those are in our hands. What we need to do, it's right here in front of us. All we have to do is study it. Staying in John, turning to chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. John, chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what it says. Do we? Do we believe that? If we do, we'll live accordingly. If we don't, we'll live accordingly. Jesus knows the mind of man. He knows what we're thinking. He knows where we're going. He knows what we're planning to do. He's putting it out there, not just for those individuals then, but for all mankind everywhere at all times. That's why we seek to preach the gospel. Gene talked this morning about our supporting other churches so that the gospel can be preached, not just here in Cincinnati and Forest Park, not just in the United States of America, not just in the Western Hemisphere, but anywhere we can get that word out, we want to do it. Why? Because every day people are dying. And every day that die is cast. That's it. It's over. Did they hear the word? Did they believe? Did they repent? Were they baptized? Did they put Jesus on in baptism? And did they then live faithfully from that point forward? That's the whole point. Like Albert always says, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. Don't do that. That's not what he wants. Staying in John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. John chapter 11, 43 and 44. If people, you know... Even people who are not Christians know who this is. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Lazarus. Everybody should know who Lazarus is. Lazarus was dead. Jesus raised him back up. To this day, you'll see science fiction movies or novels, and they'll have some form of Lazarus in the title, which refers to coming back from the dead or somehow resurrecting someone who's no longer with us. That's how powerful that example is. But it's the truth. Lazarus was raised from physical death, but what's more important is the spiritual death that must be avoided at all costs. I definitely want to express appreciation to Brother Hightower for reading in 1 Corinthians, which is where we're going now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, starting in verse 12, where it says, now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes? And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death. We should not, if we're faithful Christians, fear death. Respect it, acknowledge it, understand it, accept it, of course. Seek it out, no. But realize that only by this physical death and righteous living can we get to heaven. We must embrace that, if that's what's important to us. If it's not, then it's a great tragedy. Corinthians chapter 15 says a lot about this, and just in kind of putting a bow on this, we'll look at just a few more scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 and 36. It says, but somebody will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Now you think about fruits. Most fruits have seeds that you can get a grip on. Some seeds are so flimsy you can't really do it. But most seeds, they look like they're not alive. They look like they're little stones or rocks. You throw them in the ground like Jack and the Beanstalk and voila, they come to life. And new life comes from that which looks like it's dead. If you're any kind of biology student, you know that even death in a way can bring forth life. Things that decay, their breakdown into the soil allows other things to come forth from that. So from death, life can come. But that's only because God put all of that in place. And for us not to understand that and accept that is just, it makes no sense. Staying in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 49. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. The world does not want to acknowledge God as he is written. At best, they'll say, well, God is this, but. Which is why you have all these denominational churches and all these other beliefs and all this other stuff that's out there. Because man does not want to accept what God has written as it's written. He just, like the little two-year-old, wants to have his own way. It's understandable that humans are like that, but what we must do is rein that in. Instead of indulging ourselves and giving in to ourselves and seeking what we want, we need to seek what God wants. We need to turn away from ourselves and turn towards God. The world doesn't want you to do that. They want to entice you. They want to seduce you. They want to distract you. But all of that will ultimately destroy you permanently. Whatever your life may come to while you're in this life, it will end. And at that point, you'll be facing judgment. What will that judgment be? The last scripture I want to read is 1 Corinthians 15:52-57, where it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do what God tells us to do, the benefits are beyond our understanding. And if we don't do what God tells us to do, the consequences are more awful than we could ever imagine. But we have a choice. Every day that we live, wake up, we draw breath, we choose how we're going to live. If we've already been baptized, then we must live faithfully. If we haven't been baptized, then we need to be. We need to take advantage of hearing the word, believe it, repent, be baptized, and live faithfully. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't been baptized because you haven't believed, because you haven't heard, and you haven't repented, well, we have a baptistry that's here right now, ready to go. And we'd be happy to do that if that's what you need. On the other hand, if you just need the prayers of the church because you're trying to get where God and Jesus want you to go, by all means do it. Don't die twice. Only die once. Whatever your needs might be, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.